Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Constructive Criticism. I'm your host, Spencer, and I told you I screwed up. I made him not say his part in your contract by talking about Tom Brady, and now he's gone.
Yep, that was the last chance.
I didn't realize the contract was real, man.
Yeah, it's live and learn, I guess.
Yeah, so that's Michael, and Casey's gone. Casey, no, he's not gone forever. I don't know. Maybe he's gone forever. I don't know. Casey is taking a magic break, and we have a pretty strong belief that when you're, like, not playing magic literally at all, it doesn't make for good magic content to be on a magic podcast.
And it's not fun for him either, right? Like, no one wants to be on a podcast about a game they don't even play. That sounds kind of crummy.
Yeah, it was funny, too, because, like, yeah, you just don't want, like... Yeah, this standard looks great.
Yeah, having played, you know, one game of it in the last week, let me tell you all about it. Right. I mean, that's not, it's not worth your time. It's certainly not worth Casey's time.
So. But that being said, we're excited to keep bringing you episodes. And, you know, this opens opportunities for other things, to be completely honest. You know, there are guests that want to come on. Donald Smith, I believe is his name.
Yeah, I talked to Donald a little bit at GP Vancouver about maybe coming on, and he said that's something he might be interested in, so
yeah,
maybe hear from
him. I actually tweeted at him. I have a strong belief, and this is actually the reason, you might as well tell the listeners this, there's a reason we don't have a lot of guests, and it's because I want guests who have something that they need or want to say. So, for example, I tweeted at Donald, and does he go by Donnie Donald?
Donald, I believe.
Okay. I said, Donald, I hear you want to come on the show. What is, if you could teach our listeners one thing, what would it be? Because I want to know. I want to know what is their training grounds, right? What
For
is
sure.
their show? And he gave me a good answer.
Yeah,
so.
He's a really smart, nice guy, I think. You know. Yeah.
For those who don't know, he's a gold pro that just top-8ed the last pro tour. And we'll get him on. I'll probably reach out to him here in the next couple of weeks. We'll find time to get him on. But yeah, I'm excited for the future of the show, and I love Casey, and he's literally like my best friend, so I'm sure I'll see a ton of him, but you guys won't hear from him for a little while.
Yeah, at least for a little while, but you know, we have some ideas, and I hope that we can continue to bring you content that you find worthwhile.
Yeah, and I'm sure, I mean, we've done two man shows before. I've done two men with Manny, with Quentin, with Casey. Like, it's not a problem. So, but let's get into it this week. This week on the show, we just want to remind you that the show is brought to you by the patrons. You can go to patreon.com/ccmtg to become a patron of the show. You can donate $1 a month for more, anything that you see fit. If every listener of the show donated just $1, it would change our lives forever. And we could, I mean, at this point, we could both quit our jobs. If every single
listener,
would be full-time magic players.
I was going to say, yeah, if you kick me out, man, then... Now, then you need a very small portion of your audience.
That's true. I mean, I already...
It gets cheaper and cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah, this, like, let's be honest. If every listener donated $1, we would be able to play Magic full-time and not need to win any tournaments.
We'd be able to play Magic full-time instead of just playing Magic full-time, despite the fact that it's, you know, not...
But no, it would change our lives in a positive way. It would make it so that we could do a lot of things that we want to do. We could make a ton more content and just bring you guys the stuff that you love. You can go to patreon.com/ccmtg to start those donations starting at just $1. We have two new patrons this week. We have Justin and Michael, and we appreciate both of you. It means the world to us. When I get that notification, I always have my CCMTG email up, and when I see that little one in the notification and the Google Chrome tab, and I'm like, oh, could it be? And I click it. And today we got a nice one from.
Yeah, that's really sweet. It's nice to just like know that your contributions are valued.
It really is. It's like cool. It is a cool moment in your life when you're like, something that I said impacted this person enough that, and they feel like I brought value to their lives. And that's a good feeling. Like everybody should want, and everybody deserves to have that feeling in their lives.
And that's always our goal, whether you choose to donate or not. To just improve
your
day and, you know, ensure that you're having a good time.
Yep. You can also support this podcast by going to Oasis Games. You can check them out at mtgoasis.com. You can win $400 to Oasis Games by entering their logo contest. They're looking for a logo that says MTG Oasis, and they needed to have an aesthetic the aesthetics of Magic without stealing the IP. The logo needs to also be able to have MTG Oasis Cafe and MTG Oasis Chile for different uses, as they're opening a store in Chile and they're opening a... By the way, you're going to have to get a food handler's permit.
I mean, I'm not really aware of any of this at this point, so we'll see.
But yeah, they want to offer $400 store credit to the person with the best logo design. We got our logo from a contest very early on in the podcast, and we encourage you, if you know a logo designer that plays Magic, shoot them our way. They can just shoot a logo to alex@oasisccg.com. If they have any questions, they can message me on Facebook at Spencer Stephen Hallen, or just email ccmtg.info@gmail.com. I'd be happy to talk to them about the contest. If you want to enter, you know, there's not currently a time frame, but $400 to Oasis, I mean, GP Vegas is coming up. You could buy a modern deck for GP Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, if you play Magic, that's basically cash. The Oasis really inventory is pretty stacked these days and most every day.
And with the coupon codes, if you've never ordered there before, you can get 15% off of your first order by using the code CCMTG at checkout. You can get 4% off of every order by using the code. Would that be good? $400 plus 15% off is like...
something sweet.
Like, yeah.
For sure. I mean, 15% off in general is pretty great when you're talking about things that are basically like commodity prices.
Yeah.
That, like, you can't really... nothing's really cheaper or more expensive in Magic, like when it comes to cards. And 15% is a pretty huge discount if you're looking at like buying a deck.
You want to know what my favorite part of Mondays is? That I whip out the good vodka to do the show.
Oh, very good.
Like, it really is. I'm like looking at this drink and I'm thinking to myself, I'm so glad it's Monday. I have two bottles of vodka. I have the podcast bottle and I have like the bottle for, you know, not the podcast. And I really like the podcast because of it.
That's good to know. I'm glad, you know, that I can give you some motivation
to drink.
To treat yourself. But also that I can harass you enough.
Does it make you an alcoholic
to...
when you have vodkas for certain occasions? Also, don't drink and drive, folks. Let's move on to the next segment of our show. Speaking of not drinking and driving, the next segment is hashtag always improving. We believe if you're not getting better...
what's the implication there?
I don't know.
I mean...
don't drink and drive. That's the implication.
Okay.
Hashtag always improving is the point of this podcast. We believe if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Like, it's really hard to stay at the same level in Magic all the time. Because, honestly, Magic is changing. And if you're not keeping up with it, like, you're just going to get caught off guard and you're going to lose more. Michael, what was your hashtag always improving moment? How did you improve at Magic or life in general this week?
I've just been trying to put in the time. Just really... oh, man. I think I've played, like... 15 Magic Online leagues in the last 5 or 6 days. Just grinding away.
I played in 3.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've played a lot of Magic, so...
just trying to grind away and, like, find a deck I like for the RPTQ.
Is
and
your
then...
girlfriend out of town again?
No.
How do you get away with that?
Because her school is... sure. Hard. So, sure. You know, most of the time it's like finding ways to keep myself
occupied.
Oh, yeah,
she's like getting the equivalent of a doctorate, right?
I mean, she's getting a doctorate.
Okay, yeah.
So it's mostly just like trying to stay out of the way. And Magic is good for that. But trying to find something that like really appeals to me and then sort of... so at this point I have a couple of archetypes I'm looking at, kind of looking at 4-color Sahili and at Mardu Vehicles, and then within those trying some different lists, trying different cards, just... I feel like you can read about what other people think, but ultimately, given that it's, you know, you're playing for yourself, you have to be comfortable with the decisions you make. And for me, the easiest way to do that is just to, like...
to just play games
just
with the cards.
Volume it out, yep.
It's so funny, you know, on this podcast, we often preach, like, don't change a deck list just because you don't like a card in it. Like, go play with the card. Play 2 games of Magic and see if you still want to cut the card.
Right. At the same time, don't lose a tournament you care about with cards in your deck that you didn't like because you didn't try them.
No,
that's like
that
is
the
worst
the same
feeling
thing,
in the
right?
world,
it's this,
right?
It's the exact same feeling, right? Don't. Basically, what we're saying is try the cards before you like go to an RPTQ.
Right. Like if you get there and you're playing a card and you're like, oh man, I really shouldn't have played this in my deck. That's a really bad feeling. I mean, we've all been there before, but my goal is for that not to happen. So. regardless of how it goes, I just want to feel like at the end I played a deck that gave me a chance.
Yeah. So this week, somebody, you know, I've been playing a lot of Jeskai control. I played it at a couple of PBDQs that I did decent at, and I've just been playing the deck a ton. And on Wednesday, I asked somebody to bring another deck for me. And they, like, one of the responses I got was like, oh, why are you not playing Jeskai control anymore? Do you think it's bad right now? And I was like, nope. I just want to play with as many things as possible right now. I'm kind of like learn the format from different angles. And I think what's really important is being willing to adapt even when you're winning. It's really easy to get complacent and be like, well, I'm winning a bunch of matches, so I guess I'm never playing another deck.
It really depends on what your goals are, right? Like, if your goal is to win a bunch of FNMs and you're, you know, winning FNMs or whatever with your deck,
right,
like, if you're achieving the goal that you've set for yourself, there's nothing wrong with continuing to do what's working.
Sure.
But if your goal is to, you know, find the best deck in the format and, you know, you really want to win a PPTQ and just, like, keep moving forward in the format, it makes sense that you can't just say, well, I think this deck is probably good enough.
Yeah, so just this week I've played 4-color Saheeli, Jeskai Control, Rug Marvel, like, different variants of tons of different decks, just because I want to try different things right now and kind of get from the format in a lot of different ways. I even played a little bit. I played still a few games with the the Mardu. I keep wanting to call it Hangerback Walker, Walking Ballista deck.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I just want to know as much about the format as possible.
There's a lot to be said for just exploration.
Yeah. And here's the thing. We're talking about Legacy this week and, like, the look on what it looks like on Modo right now, so we're not going to talk too much Standard. But I do want to say, I believe that Mardu Vehicles won the GP with Walking Ballista and Chandra. And I want to kind of talk about the deck because... So here's the honest truth. I think this deck is worse than regular Mardu Vehicles, but I think it makes it impossible to play regular Mardu Vehicles.
I think that's some of it. I also think the mana is really good.
So the mana is better.
Right. The main thing I took away from playing a number of games with it was that having a colorless 2-drop and then just playing the only card
in 2-drop in the deck?
Frequently. But I mean, if you're just thinking about slotting in and over, like, Veteran Motorist,
sure,
just for curve purposes, if we're just literally looking at the card it replaces, you're cutting a red-white 2-drop for a colorless 2-drop. So your mana's better there.
Yeah.
It makes your Aether Hubs better at casting your Chandras and Gideons because you don't have something taxing your energy sources.
Like, sure.
So it sort of doubles up on improving your mana, and I think, honestly, the deck just plays enough good cards that there's some argument to be made that, like... The most conservative mana version is the best version.
Well, that's and it's also significantly better against the other Mardu deck.
Yeah, it's funny. The more I've played with both, I'm not sure how true that actually is, just because they've added more. It's weird, but when you add more, so they are playing only the 4 Heart of Kirin's, but they're playing 6 Planeswalkers versus an average of about 3 before. So they're playing the full 4 Gideons plus 2 Chandras. And my understanding is probably that the idea is that those help you crew Heart of Kirin because now Walking Ballista is rarely a 3-power creature.
Yeah.
But the flip side is that where you'd think that Walking Ballista would be really great at filling the curve, I found it was mostly a Mog fanatic, or I was using it as like a 6-plus drop for reach at the end of the game.
See, that's the thing that's why I actually said what I said about, like, is it a 2-drop? Because I had games where I was like, all right, well, play this Chandra, untap, plus this Chandra, play this Walking Ballista.
So it's great when you get to do that. The problem with it really is that it takes a lot of the aggression out of your draws, like, compared to a Veteran Motorist where you're getting to scry, you're getting something that makes your vehicles bigger, and you're getting a 3-1 all for 2. Like, Toolcraft Exemplar into Walking Ballista into Unlicensed Disintegration, your opponent isn't almost dead. Like, Toolcraft Exemplar into Scrap Heap Scrounger into Unlicensed Disintegration, your opponent's taking a ton of damage.
Yeah.
So they're sort of give and take both ways. It's interesting.
Well, let's move on to the next segment. Every week we invite a patron of the show to ask a question or submit a deck for a deck doctor. We have 2 deck doctors in waiting. We have a question this week from patron that says, hey guys, love the show. You often talk about your, quote, testing team. What is that, and how do you get on a, quote, team of Magic players? That's a great question. I've been on a lot of quote-unquote testing teams. It was funny. I tried to get on a quote-unquote testing team really early in Magic. There were a few reasons to do this. The first reason that most people come to do it is to share cards. That is the first reason most people come to do it. That was the first reason that I came to do it. I quickly realized how annoying sharing cards with people that, like, you aren't super close with is.
Yeah, that's just really difficult to actually do.
I have difficulty sharing cards with, like, people within our group. Like, within our current testing team. Like, and these are my best friends. Because, honestly, Wes Singleton, for example. I was borrowing his deck on Wednesday, and he needed two cards. He has multiple cards of mine in other decks of his, and I still had to end up buying the cards for the deck to complete his deck that I was borrowing, even though he had other cards of mine in his other decks.
Well, and, like, in addition to that, it's sometimes just hard to keep track of who has what.
Exactly.
And, like,
it really is. And it's like...
Collective ownership
puts,
is just...
It puts taxes on weird things. Like... It taxes friendships that don't need to be taxed, like, in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, I think...
It doesn't matter to me.
Right.
That's why I could call it West, is because, like, it has zero impact on mine and West's friendship. But, like, let's say that, like, it did bug me, right? That could be a problem for you and your friend.
I would just say, in general, sharing cards sometimes is fine, and it's great to let people borrow them, but I wouldn't have the expectation of, like, having access to all of someone's cards. That's a lot.
That's
to
exactly the right thing. So that's the first reason that people go into to this, is they want to share cards with each other. And with that, I would say, like, oftentimes if you want to loan some, like, I think what, like, for example, West has 3 cards of mine right now, I think. And I think I have 1 of his. And we know what those cards are, right? But that's different than, like, I'm going to borrow your 4 Jace the Mind Sculptors for 3 months and, like, jam PBDQs with them.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I had one of West's Emrakuls for an indeterminate amount of time.
Yeah. I think I had almost all of your Grixis deck for a long amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, and it's not like a big deal, really, but
no, it is one of the reasons that people get together and form these groups.
Yeah, and all I would say is that in the end, like, it's one thing to share a Magic Online account where everything just sits in there and you can have all these decks built at the same time.
I share a Magic Online collection with Quentin. We just move cards between the two accounts,
right?
And I give him all of my Modo money for him to spend accordingly to build up our collection.
Right. So I think, like, that makes some sense, but it's just, sharing cards is tricky, and ultimately I think you might be better off trying to make some kind of a financial arrangement with someone who actually is willing to loan you a bunch of cards.
Yeah.
If that's really, like, one of your primary...
Yep. Let me kind of go over, that's the main reason that these teams form. That is not the reason that our team formed. Our team formed because we wanted to form a group of people who had similar minds and similar goals and qualify for a Pro Tour or multiple Pro Tours. Qualify multiple people for multiple Pro Tours. So this is different than, like, a pro team, by the way. One of the questions we got at the last Pro Tour is, why was there no Team CCMTG going through this?
Short answer, because we suck.
that's true. It's because we suck. But also it's because, like, this is... We're at the point where, like, we're trying to get people qualified for the Pro Tour. And we've done a, like, pretty good job of it. Like, if you look at the Pro Tours since we, like, started testing together, like, it was, like, Quentin qualified for a Pro Tour. I qualified for a Pro Tour. Quentin qualified for a Pro Tour. Austin qualified for a Pro Tour. You, Casey.
Danny qualified for one. Then me, Casey, Danny. And then me and Danny.
Yeah. So, like...
Yeah.
It definitely... has helped us improve at Magic and, like, achieve goals. The other thing that it does is when... it's actually, like, a huge benefit. So there are two things that happen with this. And maybe you can speak to this, Michael. I mean, you've done it the last 2 Pro Tours. Would you say that, like, being able to, like, quickly get 8 people for a draft before a Pro Tour is, like, pretty great?
Yeah, that's nice. And I think just, like... having people who you trust on some level just to be like, hey, I think this, what do you think? I think that's probably oddly the biggest benefit.
Will you try this thing let me know what you think of this thing?
Yeah, like, because you have so many good players available to you on Magic Online that if you just want to play games against good competition, I think you can get games, but they're sort of one-sided, right? Like, you only see your side. So being able to get games that are less like tournament games and more like playtesting games, getting to sort of bounce lists and ideas off each other, I think that stuff is really useful. And I mean, obviously you can just do that with friends, but with a bigger group, it helps to have a little bit of organization.
So the question of how do you get on a team, we've given this advice a lot of times, and I would highly recommend... In fact, I would recommend this just to our Facebook group. Oftentimes we get asked like, hey, how do we get on Team CCMTG? And it's like, we've thought about inviting people who aren't local to Utah, but it just like kind of defeats the purpose of what we're doing a little bit. And maybe one day that changes. Maybe there's 6 silver pros next year in the CCMTG community, and that ends up being Team CCMTG, right? Like, that's completely possible. But what I recommend for you now, whether it's a group of online people that you like playtest with on Cockatrice or Modo, or just a group of 5-6 players in your local community, find people that have similar goals to you and form a group that playtests, talks about Magic. It's really that simple.
And it doesn't have to be that serious either. Like if you have a couple of you, it can be as simple as just like making an effort to message them on Facebook, that kind of stuff. I mean, you can start building informal structures before you decide you need a name. And
even within our group, right, there are people that are much more dedicated than others. But it's the idea is like having people to bounce, like that I have a group of people to draft with, to do these things with. And it doesn't have to be that many people, right? Like it could be 4 people. Just like but one of the huge, like, I think it's like diversify, right? Like diversifying the mindsets of people you're playing Magic with.
Definitely. I think so if you just play a bunch of FNMs, right, you get a lot of challenges at your store or whatever, but they cap out at a relatively low level. As you add more people, you can just get so many more perspectives rather than like, okay, well, this is working for me at my local FNM, but as you talk to more people about decks and ideas and sideboarding and, you know, all this different stuff, just having a larger number of people really makes a big difference. And having sort of, people who you look up to and respect in terms of skill, that kind
of
stuff.
That was really sweet of you.
It really helps.
Do you remember when you said on this podcast you thought I was better at Magic than you, and now you're going to be a silver pro and I'm sitting here like giving a baby a bottle?
Well, I mean, you know, you can become a silver pro too. Just waste all your weekends.
I love you, Michael. All right. That's kind of it. Like, just go do it. It's so funny. Like, people... I think, Michael, you said this on the podcast once, that a lot of people are like really intimidated to like walk up to the player that's like winning their FNMs. It's like, no, this guy like probably doesn't want to talk to me. Like, he's the big shot at the store. And to be honest with you, just go ask him. Like, hey, like, do you ever play Magic not at FNM? Would you ever think of like jamming some games? Like,
yeah, it just on the side. It doesn't have to be that serious. You know, you're not asking him to be like your life partner or whatever.
Exactly. You're just asking him to play Magic with you, which he's already doing.
Right. He already plays at least sometimes. He or she already plays sometimes. So it's really just like you have to play against people who can challenge you.
Yep.
Like, you don't want to form a group of, you know, you and your little brother's 6-year-old friends, right?
Yep. And well, maybe you do. Maybe that's your goal. Maybe you all want to win FNMs together, right? Maybe that's...
Sure. But I mean, if you want to improve, you have to work with people who are smarter than you.
You do. And if you, like, let's say that you have a bad local community, find communities to join and be a part of. You know, I would highly recommend, if you're looking for a community and you need a community to get together, there's hundreds of people in this thing called the Constructor Criticism family that I'm sure are looking for playtesting partners. Like... It's pretty simple. So thank you so much for the question. Also, shout out to Miles Lewis, who just pledged on Patreon while we were recording the podcast.
Sweet.
So, you know, another shout out to another new patron. So thank you so much. Let's move on. So let's move on to the power rankings. So we're not going to... There was one total legacy event since November, by the way, on SEG. So let's address that. So what happened to Legacy at the SCG level, Michael? Do you know?
Well, basically, SCG was not finding it particularly profitable to run these events in comparison with their standard and modern events. So they have moved to 2-day open formats where every open is either standard or modern, or I guess they're doing some sort of team formats now where they're like multiple formats at the same time. But basically, they are not doing Legacy except Classics.
Yeah, and they're only doing like Legacy Classics at modern events or something?
I don't know.
I think it's something weird like that. So there's very, very few Legacy play, and we haven't addressed it. There are other podcasts that have talked about it. And it honestly, it sucks. It's a great format, but you know, SCG's got to do what SCG's got to do.
Right. I mean, they're a business, not a, you know.
Yeah. So the way we'll do Legacy Power Rankings is going to be off of motor results from now on. But let's talk about the top five decks right now on MTGO. So as of today, coming in number five, we have Grixis Delver. How long until this deck cuts Delver?
Well, I don't know if this... So it looks to me like... I'm trying to figure out if this Grixis Delver is combining... So there are some that play Abrupt Decay and some that do not, and I can't tell if it's combining the two or not. But there are a bunch of like four color control decks, and then there are Grixis Delver that splash green for the Deathrite Shaman activation, basically. So okay. Some of the lists lean more like, I think of like the Ben Friedman style lists with like Abrupt Decays, maybe a Leovold, like three True Name Nemesis, no Young Pyromancers, no Cabal Therapies.
So I've looked at the first 3-5-0 lists, and none of them play Abrupt Decay.
Okay.
Oh, this one does.
And it plays Snapcaster Mage and Delver and Deathrite Shaman and True Name and Leovold, right? And yep. No Cabal Therapy. Yeah, so they're combining those two lists. So that list sometimes actually does cut Delver.
That's what I would think, that you would just cut Delver from this archetype.
You can. The thing is that you get so many free wins on the play with just like Underground Sea, Delver, Daze, so Wasteland.
Do the other ones play Stifle?
No. None of these lists play Stifle generally.
No, this one plays 4 Stifle.
Most of them do not.
Okay.
I was under the understanding,
and I haven't played Legacy. The first two play
Well,
Stifle.
Maybe this has changed really recently then, because...
All the, first of the three
So
play
the Grixis
Stifle.
Delver lists were not playing Stifle.
So that is the reason that I would play Delver.
Before. So they looked more like this before, where they would play like Brainstorm, Cabal Therapy,
right.
Probe Bolt, Ponder, Daze, Force with Young Pyromancers.
Yeah, these are like 4 of Stifle, 4 of Wasteland lists.
So they're like more...
They're
like,
actual Delver
they're,
decks.
They're like Rug Delver.
Why would you play Deathrite Shaman then?
In which version?
In the Wasteland version.
If you're not playing Stifle, or...
I guess it doesn't matter, but like...
I mean, because Deathrite Shaman is oppressive. That's the
sure.
real reason. Because it is like... It's like playing 8 Delvers.
Well, kind of. I feel like you're playing different game plans when you're... I mean, I guess they can be the same game plan, right? Like, if you play a turn 1 Delver, turn 2 Deathrite Shaman, Stifle your thing, like...
Yeah.
You probably win all of those games.
Right. It's just like a... It's... When you're thinking about these decks and sort of the mana denial elements and the tempo elements, Deathrite Shaman is another thing that helps put you really far ahead. Like, when you think about how many... So, in a lot of formats, right, like a one-drop mana dork, like Birds of Paradise in Modern, right, how many extra spells a turn are you casting off of that versus these decks?
The thing that I think when I see this deck, and I think we talked about this last time we talked about Legacy, but I just... And I actually played this deck... I started playing this deck. I was playing a Young Pyromancer. I think I played like 3 Young Pyros, 2 Snaps, some number of, I think 2 Gurmags, some number of True Names, Deathrite Shamans, and no Delvers. And I really liked that.
Yeah, so it looks like these lists are moving Cabal Therapy to the board, mostly, when they're playing Stifle in the main.
Okay, that makes some amount of sense.
Yeah, I think
that list is literally playing a Thought Scour.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I really liked that game plan, right? This, like, go a little bit bigger, get you with Young Pyromancer, you know, basically tear you apart, and then, like, win with Deathrite Shaman. That was my thought of how I would want to do it.
Yeah, it's about matchups. I think that the decks that go slightly bigger, like more True Names, my understanding and what I had found was that those were relatively favored in the Delver Mirrors. Like, just like Cabal Therapy is not great in those matchups. It's the Stifle thing. I haven't played as much against the Grixis Delver list playing a bunch of Stifles, so I could be a little bit wrong on how those matchups play out, but when I was playing these before, I was considering the four-color list for...
What is this?
I was considering the four-color list for Grand Prix Louisville. I ended up playing Sneak and Show instead, but I had felt like having the Abrupt Decays and stuff like that was a pretty big advantage.
Did you know Grishul Stroll is... Oh, no, it's just a sneak attack deck? Sorry, I'm, like, way off base here. There's this...
It's mono-red-ish?
No, I oh, that might be what it is. Oh, it's just that deck. Okay, never mind. Crisis averted. Anyway, I'm like Squirrel over here. So I think Grixis Delver is actually in a really good spot, depending on how you build it. And I think you can build it to really beat up on Miracles.
Well, you can build it to be pretty good in a bunch of different matchups, and I think right. That's sort of the appealing thing, right?
Yep.
This is a deck that there are probably like 10 to 12 flex slots, but those slots dramatically change how the deck plays.
Next up, we have Eldrazi Stompy. This deck did win the Classic in Baltimore, so the one that just happened. But the deck also just happens to 5-0 a lot of Magic Online events. What do you think of this deck? It's literally the modern deck that, like, from Eldrazi Winter, just the colorless version with, like, Chalice of the Voids and big Eldrazi.
I think it's kind of like all Chalice decks in Legacy. When Chalice is good, the deck is great. Like, when you slam Chalice on one, on turn one, and your opponent cares about that, it's very hard to lose.
I think they just made, like, Stax decks good. Like... I honestly believe that Stax was bad for a long time. And now Stax is good, and so people are like, oh, it's oppressive. Because that's what I hear about this deck. And it's like, it's definitely not oppressive.
This deck is so bad against, like, unfair strategies, in my experience. If you're an unfair strategy that doesn't get completely hosed by Chalice of the Void, you almost can't lose.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that this deck can win a lot of games and, like, be really annoying to you. And
it can be a fine choice. I'm not saying this deck is bad.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like... It kind of goes as Chalice goes.
I completely agree. And it's you win so few games on the back of mimic other thing, like
it's just kinda underpowered in a lot of matchups. I mean, I have to imagine your Delver matchups are astonishingly good because you have like the combination of Chalice and, you know, 3/3s or whatever that Delver can't really beat.
Three twos that replace themselves.
Yeah.
That card seems like a nightmare for Delver.
Yeah, Delver's just like, oh crap.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. I think the deck is good, but I mean, oppressive is not the words that I would use for this deck.
You're
as some
playing before. Endbringer in Legacy, right? Like calling any deck that's playing Endbringer and all is
this list that recently Fido had
like,
four Oblivion Swords and an Ulamog.
Yeah, I mean, if that's not oppressive, I don't know what is.
Like,
yeah, right. I mean, I think any deck that is playing Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger in Legacy is almost by definition not oppressive.
I agree. Because there's just too many answers for like...
No, it doesn't make it bad. It's just like you're playing
that it makes it bad. I'm saying that like there's too... The beautiful thing about Legacy is that it's self-correcting, right? Like, if this deck got too good, there would just be cards that would take it out.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, the card pool is big enough that like you can beat what you want to beat.
Yeah, I do think that what you said is perfectly correct, though, that, like, yeah, sometimes this deck is going to be the correct choice for a tournament. The next up, we do have a real Delver deck. And, man, has this deck gotten interesting since Leovold entered the fray?
You're calling this one a real Delver deck?
Yeah, this deck, like...
This plays him to Turok.
Yeah. This deck is it's not Canadian Threshold, but, like...
Yeah, this deck is almost incapable of actually Delvering people.
Is that true?
Yeah, you have 4 Delver and 4 Wasteland, and you have, like...
I go turn 1 Delver, flip my Delver, him you. Did I not Delver you? Like, are you going to win that game?
I mean, I think of Delvering as, like, the mana denial part. I mean, you can win
that's any... what you think because you've played against Canadian Threshold, but that's not what Delver was in Standard.
Well, but anytime you him to Turok... That sounds more like I'm getting him to Turok to death. Anytime you get him to Turok, it sometimes just reads, ah, crap, I lose.
Sure.
Right? And you learn the hard way that, like, forcing a him to Turok is a really dangerous game. When you, like, force a him, and then they're like, yeah, force your force, and you're like, oh, man, I just got super mind-twisted. That's really bad. So sometimes you just kind of have to let him happen.
You know why they do that, though, is because for a long time before you played Magic, Jund was actually the best deck in Legacy for a short time. It was, like, Bloodbraid Elf Jund with hymns and stuff like that, and, like, Sylvan Library. It was a sweet deck. Like, it was funny because it was at the same time. It was when Deathrite Shaman was printed, and so people were like, well, I already have all of these cards in Modern, so I just have to buy, like, all of these inexpensive dual lands.
Right.
Because, like...
Because they're, like, Badlands and Bayou and...
Savannah and... Yeah,
Taiga.
And Taiga. Yeah, and this is when Taiga was, like, $40.
Sure.
So it was like, oh, I already own all these cards.
Yeah.
And so that strategy really caught on, so they just needed, like, hymns, and then their thought sees him. But that's why they do that. That's why they're like, yeah, just force that.
So this deck is kind of sweet, though, and I think it's sort of taking up the space that Shardless was taking up before. I think Leovold specifically has made the card Shardless Agent a lot worse, because sometimes you hit Ancestral Vision and then you don't get to draw cards, which is just awkward. And being a 2-2 is, like, really bad against the 3-3 for 3 when you're playing the 2-2 for 3. So I feel like this deck has really sort of encroached on that territory. I know for a while people were playing, I don't know if anyone's still playing Tombstalker, but...
There was Tombstalker list.
So some people are still playing Tombstalker, but I would imagine that a lot of people are playing Leovolds, and even with Tombstalker, like, this deck is just doing a lot of what Shardless was doing before, but you have some Delver draws as well.
Yeah, and we'll get into Shardless when we talk about what we would play in this format in a while. Next up, we have the Ad Nauseam Tendrils deck. That's a terrible name. Why are they calling it that? Okay.
Well, it was called that initially because there was a different Storm deck that was also viable, and now that deck isn't really sort of a deck.
We're talking about Storm.
Right, but there were two Storm decks. There was the Rite of Flame Burning Wish Storm deck, and there was this Storm deck.
Sure.
Although, I think eventually that one added Ad Nauseam, so then it was really confusing.
Okay.
So you had, the other one was the Epic Storm, and this one was Ad Nauseam Tendrils, so Ant and Tess.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't this just called Ant?
I mean, that's what Ant stands for.
Oh. Why don't they just... I guess they want to differentiate it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're getting into the name game of Magic, and that's the worst. No, I think that Ant is a great deck choice right now.
Yeah, just be glad it's not called Cephalid Breakfast, that things aren't named like that anymore.
Oh, Magic, somebody... Magic somebody used to be messaged way sweeter. Somebody messaged me, and they're like, why is this deck called Cheerios? And I was like, it's a joke. All of the combo decks used to be called Breakfast Cereals. And they're like, they did? And I, like, sent them an article. And not only that, it was all combo decks. In fact, there was a really sweet combo deck in Standard called Lucky Charms. And what it did is it played Boros Reckoner and Boros Charm and Azorius Charm. And so you would... You know where this is going, right? Yep. So you would make your Boros Charm indestructible and then give it lifelink and block with it and then deal itself damage again and again and again and again.
Perfect.
So you would gain infinite life.
So powerful.
Yeah. Lucky. So they called it Lucky Charms because, you know,
yeah, just two charms. Yeah, things are better when they're named in a confusing cereals way. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, one of my most successful Reddit threads was the deck names suck now. Let's fix it. And so, like, somebody, it was during the Mono Black Devotion area, and somebody came up with the best name I've seen, which was Devoted to You. For a name for Mono Blue Devotion. And I thought that was pretty cute. Anyway.
Yeah, it's really disappointing that we have to name decks after the cards that are in them now. Yeah. It's really poor convention.
So, this deck is so funny. Like, this deck has just been a deck forever.
Yeah.
And people, it's either really good in the format or, like, probably you shouldn't play it.
I think it's also, like, deceptively difficult to play. Like, it doesn't always feel like it's especially difficult. But then you, you know, are actually playing it or whatever. And it, there are a lot of games that are easy to win, and there are a number of games that are impossible to win. But if you're bad with it, every game feels like it falls into one of those categories. You know, I don't know if that makes sense. But, like, yeah. you end up feeling like, okay, either I am guaranteed to win this game and you don't understand that you could have lost it but got lucky, or you think you can't win games you can win.
Yep.
And it's a deck that, like, always is doing pretty well. It's been reasonable for a long time.
Well, let's go on to the next deck. This deck is 20% of the online meta of 5-0 decks. An unreasonable amount. We have Miracles. We've talked about this deck so many times in the podcast. We have said for so long that they just need to ban either Counterbalance or Top. I haven't changed my opinion. Something needs to go. The deck's oppressive. It's stupid. It's not fun. I'm actually honestly surprised that many people can get 5-0s with this deck. Because, like, you have to activate Top so much.
You do, but it's also faster online. Like, all the motions are faster, right?
That's
true.
When
you, like, crack a fetch, it doesn't take any time.
That's true.
Because in paper, a lot of it is, like, you just... It's not that any of the actions take that long. It's that you have to perform so many actions in a game that you have to know when to do what.
Sure.
Like, sort of intuitively, or else you're going to spend forever doing nothing.
So not only is the deck encouraged slow play in paper, it also is oppressive online.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. It's just it's just not that easy.
It's hard to play.
It's pretty tricky.
Which version do you like the best?
I like the Mentors a lot better in paper.
Online?
I'm not sure. I haven't played with it enough to be sure of how I feel about it, like, in a perfect world. All I know is that in paper, Mentor lets you actually win games quickly without flipping without playing multiple entreats, which is not really... I really don't like playing multiple entreats. And I feel like you're priced into doing it if you're not playing Mentors.
Okay. All right. What would you play right now in Legacy and why?
I would either play Soultide Delver or Sneak and Show, kind of in the same place as before. I really like both those decks pretty well. Sneak and Show is really good against Miracles, like really, really good against Miracles. It's great against Eldrazi. And there's sort of a floor on how bad your matchups can really be, because, you know, sometimes you just draw like triple Sneak and Show, triple Gristlebrand, and lands to cast three Sneak and Shows or Sneak Attacks or Show and Tells, right? I mean, you
sure.
Just, it's a jam deck, and I enjoy that. It's very amusing.
You know, right now, I would just play the True Name Nemesis Deathrite Shaman Leovold deck, with Noble Hierarchs.
The Reed Duke.
I don't think thing. That this version plays white anymore.
I don't. Was he? Did he end up playing white? I thought he cut it in the end.
Oh, he might have.
I think he just played Noble Hierarch. I don't think he actually played Stoneforge Mystic.
Yeah, I thought he did. I would. Either way, I think that it, like, Soultide Control is a uh-huh. good enough name for the deck. That is the deck that I would be playing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's sort of an evolution of Shardless, right?
Yeah, the Sampardee took first with it. I think he. Yeah, he had no white cards, I think, in the 75.
Yeah, I don't believe that most people are actually playing white cards. I think they're just playing Hierarchs, because you're playing so many threes.
Yeah, you're playing six threes.
Like, and Jace. And
yeah.
Just all this stuff is so much better when you can cast it faster. Yep. And Noble Hierarch is, you know, just a reasonable magic card. Like, it allows your Tarmogoyfs to attack into their Tarmogoyfs.
Yeah, I would just play this deck. I think that it fits my playstyle really well in Legacy. Legacy is like one of the formats where I'm willing basically to do this kind of stuff. This deck list is very interesting.
But I think in general,
where did
like,
you get this list?
This was just 5-0 under Sultai. It's a little bit different.
I like that list.
But it's similar, right? Same yep. idea. I think that I agree with that, though. In Legacy, there's a lot to be said for just, like, understanding how you want to play the games, because you have so much control over the, like, with
you
all
do.
The ponders and stuff, you have so much control over the cards you see, and, like, just understanding how to sideboard, like, how matchups are supposed to play out, what your role is. You can get a lot of mileage out of just playing whatever deck you choose pretty well.
Yeah, I completely agree. So, yeah, that's where we're at in Legacy. That's the format right now. Hashtag ban something. I don't know. It's so funny because, like, I still love Legacy even though I hate Miracles being that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Miracles is good, but, like, there's stuff to keep it from completely dominating. And I also just feel like, in general, Wizards should be a little bit loath to touch eternal formats where, like, the people who are playing it are bought in already for the most part.
Okay, like, that's a good excuse.
Like, my feeling is kind of...
Except that there are people quitting the format because of Miracles.
Maybe, but I think when you already have a group of people playing something that you don't really officially support...
Sure.
It's kind of like sticking your nose in and being like, hey, we're going to change all this stuff.
Okay.
Right, I mean, how many... If you say people aren't playing Standard, so we need to ban things, I can at least understand that as a business decision, because, like, people have the potential to play Standard. I can't really buy a Legacy deck, so...
That's true.
Right, I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. Like, I'll play a GP when there's one available, but I'm not going to, like, play weekly Legacy events.
Sure. Well, let's move on to the training grounds. So, I posted, like, 3 training grounds, and then, which is, like, kind of rude of me to do, because, like, at the end of the day, I was going to pick one or let you pick one.
Sure.
But
well.
But it's also nice to see, like, people's feedback about it.
Yeah.
But today we're going to talk about making time for yourself. A pretty good podcast for when Casey leaves.
Yeah.
Like, no, but I think that this is something...
He took this podcast too seriously. He took this topic too seriously. He preemptively quit.
Yeah. He was like, you know what? I do need to make time for myself.
Peace, guys.
Bye. I want to explain something that I don't know that all of our listeners know about. So there is this thing in Magic called grinding, where you just play every freaking weekend. You're going to PBDQs, you're going to GPs, it's the grind. Like, you literally put your nose down and play every Magic event possible to try and get to your end goal, whatever that may be. And, it's really tiring at times,
and it
can get really hard. And the thing was, it was called grinding before PPTQs existed, and PPTQs made it so much harder and so much more taxing on you. I think this is. I think more people have quit Magic, competitive Magic, because of PPTQs than ever would have quit Magic because of
PTQ size issues.
PTQ size issues.
It's possible.
Because oftentimes you feel taxed into playing in all of these events. And I know that I have now chosen not to feel that way. It's just, I'm just not going to play in all of them. If I don't win one because I didn't play in all of one, I'm not going to be upset about it. Because I should just win one. Like, I should get good enough to win PPTQs.
And if not, then, you know,
so
you'll
what?
Get one next season.
Then
right?
So
it's
what?
Kind of. Right. It's
then
like
I have a kid at home and a wife.
Making yourself miserable.
Yeah, exactly that.
I having basically since Pro Tour Kaladesh.
I mean, you beat me in the finals of a PPTQ where you played in, like, didn't you say 20 PPTQs that season?
Something terrible like that. I think I lost in the finals of, like, 4 of them or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Was that fun?
No, not by the end. But I won that one, and then I won the first one of the next season the next week, so maybe it was
so that
just
felt
like
good.
Getting the variance out of my system. But I feel like I've played a ton of Magic since the Pro Tour in October, and I know what you mean, just like gearing up to go out of town again this weekend. I was in Vancouver last weekend.
It takes up so much of your time.
Yeah.
PV actually talked about that. He spends more time not at home because of Magic than he does at home because that's his full-time job.
Yeah.
Like, because, and for him, it's because, like, he lives in a place where, like, traveling to and from is really hard.
Right.
But, like, think about that. His his job is to play a game for a living and to write articles about a game for a living, and he spends more time away from it than at it. So this is why we wanted to do a topic about making time for yourself. And oftentimes, I've had multiple patrons say, "Hey man, I'm quitting Magic. I need time for other things in my life." Multiple. And that's okay. It's never bothered me. I completely understand. And it's important that you, if you're going to play Magic, it's important that you recognize that this thing exists if you're going to do it. But it's also important to do some other things. So let's talk about being healthy for a minute. And there's two keys to this. We have mental health and physical health. Let's talk about mental health first. Casey's taking a mental health break from Magic. Let's be clear. He is not happy when he's playing Magic. And if you're in that space, maybe don't play in the PvdQ this weekend.
Yeah, and I think it's about sometimes not like... It doesn't always have to be like a big picture decision, right? You don't have to be like deeply existentially unhappy with something to just say like, "I don't think I should play today."
Yeah.
And just be okay with that.
This weekend, I was really upset that I wasn't going to play in a PPTQ. And then I was like, "Oh, I can play on Modo." And then something happened in my day that was unexpected. And I was like, "I'm just not going to play. Like, so what? I miss a weekend of PPTQing."
Yeah, it'll be there next weekend and the week after that.
It will. That's the thing you need to remember. It's not that you have to play in all of them. It's that there's always going to be another one. And the mental health thing, like, Magic is a mental game. So if you're unhappy while playing it, you're going to play worse. So take that time for yourself. Go do something else. Go, you know what? Like, there have been so many times, and I don't know if it's just me. I'm sure that other people who play Magic a ton feel this way. There are multiple times where I was like, "Man, I used to play a ton of video games that I really loved. I really wish that I did that more." Go do that. Go play a video game. Go. One thing that really helps me to improve my mental health about Magic is to go do something else to exercise my brain other than Magic.
Yeah, I usually...
Go ahead.
So, I mean, I have to say, I have not taken a break from playing Magic, like, a lot in probably the last...
You're looking at the literal date now?
Yeah, probably the last, like, 6 or 7 months.
And that's okay.
Which is fine. I'm happy with where I'm at and happy with how it's going. But it's about sort of finding, like, knowing what your breaking point is.
Yeah.
And sort of understanding when you're getting close and just backing off a little bit.
At the same time, you just went to an event with your girlfriend for a benefit, right?
Right. So, I mean, it's not like it's the only thing I ever do.
That's important.
I definitely try to make some time to, you know, hang out with my girlfriend. My girlfriend has a twin niece and nephew, so we try to go home and visit them, like, once a week or stuff. Just stuff like, just have other things to break it up sometimes.
You know, we don't do this anymore, but we should. We're going to move on to physical health. We don't do this anymore, but for a while, we were playing basketball together with a couple guys, and we should do that again. It's really hard to get the time in, but, like, it was actually funny. I made this decision. I've changed what I drink, what I eat a little bit since doing this. We went to a tournament at Comic-Con, and as we were walking back from Comic-Con, my legs started hurting, walking like 2 miles. And I was like, I'm like way too out of shape.
Yeah, and Magic is not really a great game for being in shape.
It's true.
It encourages a lot of bad food decisions and a lot of sitting.
Yeah.
So I usually, like, one of the things I like to do when I'm playing Magic online is, like, I have some exercise equipment and I'll take breaks between leagues and just, like, exercise for a little while. Just try to break things up a little bit. Stimulate yourself physically in addition to mentally.
Yeah, one of the things that once it's spring, we're obviously going to take our baby on walks and our dog on walks. But my wife and I are, like, pretty committed to, like, waking up in the morning and doing Zumba together, having that time together, getting some physical exercise. And then, I'm committed. And then for the last little while, I haven't been doing it lately, but I've been trying to work out at night and, like, do something with my body that isn't, you know, sitting and playing Magic behind a computer, behind, you know, behind it in a chair.
And again, it's about finding balance, because I mean, Magic is naturally sort of a sedentary thing, and like,
yeah,
obviously not everything you do is going to be physical, but just finding a way to sort of, even if it's just getting up and stretching and just moving around a little bit, just between you rounds, could... like I definitely notice at larger events, sometimes I just start feeling really tired just with all of the, it's like a combination of stress and sitting. That when you start, you know, trying to think as hard as you possibly can and your heart rate gets up, but you're not really moving.
It's so funny how tired I get at Magic
events.
Yeah,
you just start feeling kind of crummy, and like, I like just getting out of the venue for a minute, or like after the day trying to walk around for a little bit. Just that kind of stuff makes me feel so much better.
The other thing that I would stress on this is like, it doesn't have to be the things that we're saying. You know, like, And it's so funny that we got that team question earlier. Like, let's say you have a team of Magic players, right? Go play Ultimate Frisbee. Go just...
Right, I mean, you can just be friends.
You can, yeah, you can actually just be friends. Like, it's so funny. There was a time where, like, every week, me, you, Austin, and Quinn were just playing basketball together, right?
Right.
Like, and... there was very little talk of Magic while we played basketball. Like, it was, oh, like, what did you think of this deck? Like, while we're shooting, while we're practicing. And then we would just play basketball. And it's so funny that, like, when you get to the grinding level of Magic, I'm really glad that you said that, like, you take that time in between leagues and do that. Because, you know, there was a time where I was, like, when I was really trying to get better at basketball, where I would, like, basically shoot free throws until I made 10 free throws in a row. And if I missed a free throw and had to start over, I would also go do 5 layups and like running layups, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like exhausting.
Right. And it was progressively worse.
Yeah, you actually, it's true, you do.
But it's kind of
like eventually
Magic,
you
right?
give up because you're like, all right, this is never happening.
It's kind of like Magic, right? If you were like, okay, I'm going to play a league until I 5-0, like... that, so, you know, maybe you 5-0 one of your first two and it's like fine and you're like, okay, good job, I don't suck. But maybe, you know, you sit there for 12 hours yeah. trying to 5-0 a league and yeah. it's not happening.
But what the point of this was if I wanted to just shoot 500 free throws, I could just shoot 500 free throws, right? But instead, I was like, I'm also fat and like running layups will do me some good. So
that's a good thought process. Just like, okay, I know what my tendency is. I'm gonna fight that.
Yeah. So that's exactly right. So like, if your tendency is to like play 6 leagues in a night, maybe play 4 leagues and do something in between the two sets.
And I think in both parts of this, a lot of it is like, how do you make your time meaningful, right? Like, so you want to spend a lot of time playing Magic, but how do you learn from the games you play? And then when you feel like you're learning from the games you play, not only do I notice I'm getting less burned out when I'm really making an effort to focus on what I'm taking away rather than just playing to play, but I also notice that when I move on to other things, I'm more able to sort of leave Magic where it is and just work on something else for a while.
Yeah. Let's go on to the next part we have. We have Magic breaks. So you just said you haven't taken one. Have you never taken one since you started?
I mean, there have been times where I've played less, but I haven't actually stopped.
Okay. So I have taken a really long Magic break, but it wasn't like I was still playing PBTQs. I was still playing like every week.
Yeah, still playing sometimes, right?
Right. So So when we say Magic break, it doesn't have to be like I'm not playing Magic ever for the next X weeks, because I think that is a weird way to do it. It can be that if that's what you want to do, but I think that what's important here is like there are nights where I'm like, where it's like, all right, gonna go play some Magic online, and I sit down and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't do this. So what am I doing? So maybe I go play a video game. Maybe I play Pokemon TCG. Maybe play Hearthstone. You know, that's okay. That's taking a break, right? You didn't play a match of Magic that you were going to play because you didn't want to play Magic. You didn't want to burn out. That's okay. That can be your break. It can also be you're not playing, like, it can be skipping a PPTQ. It can be skipping a month of PPTQs. It can be whatever you want it to be. But if you feel like you need one, it's okay to take one. But Magic will be there when your break is over.
But what that also, I would say, what that also means is what feels like a break to you is a break. You don't have to, like, you don't have to say, oh, well, I think I need a little break, so I'm going to stop completely even when I would like to play. Like,
exactly.
If you want to, it's about finding sort of balance, right? That if you think you are spending too much time playing and it's, you know, making you unhappy, you know, you can back off and still play some. It's not like you have to, you know, go cold turkey or anything.
Yep. Next, we have obsessing. Magic is a really obsessive game.
It is. It's, like, really hard to stop thinking about, just in general. Like,
yeah. It is very possible that you are obsessed with Magic. I am obsessed with Magic.
I mean, do I really need to say it? Obviously.
I think that we, like, it's okay. It's okay. Like, it is. People are obsessed with most of their hobbies. Most people are obsessed with their hobby. Like, if you scrapbook, you're probably obsessed with scrapbooking. You probably get on Pinterest and look at 600 scrapbooking things to do every single night. Guess what? As long as that doesn't affect your health, your mental health, your physical health, your relationships, things like that, it's okay.
Right. It's about sort of finding what works for you, right? And being honest with yourself and with the people around you, right?
Right. I didn't play in PPTQs this week because I had a baby to watch.
I mean, that's a pretty reasonable
right. That's
choice.
Clearly, like...
Right. Yeah. And
I did just fine. I still played Magic this weekend. Came over to my house. We went to Oasis Games. We came back here. Like, we definitely played Magic this weekend.
Right. But, like...
But I didn't sacrifice watching my kid to go play Magic.
Right. So, just sort of deciding what is going to work for you in the short and long term. And I think also understanding that, like, it's really fine to have things you are more interested in than other things. That's, you
know,
okay. That's how your brain works.
Exactly right.
Like, if not Magic, I'm sure I'd be obsessed with something else. That's just my personality.
No, it's mine too, right? Like, I've told this before, but, like, before Magic, I literally played basketball every single day. And then a short time after that, I went airsofting every single weekend.
And then you got addicted to crack cocaine.
Yeah,
and then you had to move back to Magic.
And then I didn't get addicted. I mean, I thought you were talking about Magic when you said crack. And then Magic came. It was actually funny.
Yeah,
I was still on an airsoft team when I got addicted to Magic. Like, I had to make choices between buying new airsofting gear and buying Magic cards at that time in my life.
It makes sense. I mean, that's certainly how I am as a person, too. It's always going to be something. It's just the way I am.
It's true. And if it's exactly right. It's okay. Like, people obsess about scrapbooking. People obsess about fantasy football. Like, your hobby, it's okay to have hobbies. You just need to strike a balance and make some time for yourself. Being honest with your loved ones. I have heard so many people tell me that they lied to their loved ones to, like, get to go to a Magic tournament. Please don't do that. That's so not worth.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's about finding balance with them, right? Like, they should respect that sometimes you want to, you know, do what you want to do.
Yeah.
But you should respect that if you can't be honest with the people you care about, there's a really high chance that you're doing something that's unhealthy, right? Because ultimately they want what's best for you.
Yeah, and I don't know if I want to say this. I can't decide. I think I do. So let's say that Magic is really important to you. Like, pretty important. Like, you love it. It makes you happy. It's not affecting you in negative ways. As long as those things are true, they should want you to do it.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I always find that the older I get, because, I mean, I certainly have been conflicted, like, when I was a young teenager about, you know, how other people thought about me playing Magic. But I find that as time goes on, no one should really care.
It's, yeah,
we all
I
have
think,
our things.
Yes, and that's kind of what I am kind of alluding to is like, if you need to lie to them to like go to a magic event, maybe it's time to have a discussion about like magic for you and them.
Just like why this is something you enjoy.
Exactly.
And
it doesn't have to be like a fight. It doesn't have to be like, but like, hey, I felt like lying to you there. Can we talk about this for a second?
Yeah. It's like a warning sign that either that you should re-examine either how you are feeling about magic or how someone else is, right? Like either you really are spending too much time on this for, you know, and it's hurting you in some way, or maybe the person you're lying to doesn't quite understand what this game does for you.
Yep. Next up, I have owning your calendar. So this is a term that we've been using in product lately that I thought really applied to this subject. And real thing that happened. So one of the $25 per month patron benefits is you get playtesting. And Michael, by the way, is the one doing most of that. So if you want to donate $25 per month, you can hit up Michael and he will schedule a playtesting session with you every month that you are eligible for. But when one of our patrons reached out to me and asked me if I had time for him, and I said, quote, let me check my Google Calendar. Told him, I said, send me a Google Calendar invite for this time to playtest with you, so that it was on my calendar. And you might think, like, that's really weird, dude. Like, you have a problem. But at the same time, like, here's the honest truth. If magic is getting to the point where, like, you're literally ditching other people, like, ruining certain plans, there needs to be a prioritization of events in your life, right? And you need to own that calendar that's yours. Like, maybe you're listening to this podcast and you're 14 years old and you don't know what I'm talking about. That's okay. Guess what? You're 14. You need to go to school, get good grades, and then have hobbies. It's okay. You play magic. And if you have time to play magic when your homework is done, awesome. Good job. But if you're an adult, you probably shouldn't be skipping work to go to a magic event. You probably shouldn't be leaving your kid in the car while you play magic. Like, you probably shouldn't be taking your infant child into a magic event. Like, you need to own your calendar and know when you have time for certain things, because magic is your time, right? But at the same time, magic can't be occupying time that you don't have.
And I think it comes back just to being like honest with yourself, right?
It does.
You can schedule as much time to play magic as you want, but don't lie to yourself. You don't need to lie to yourself or other people about what you're doing with your time.
I think I went to a sealed PPDQ where a wife and husband were playing magic, and they brought like their 1-year-old son and just let him scream bloody murder. And like, I mean, he might have been a little older than one because he was like running. So he might have been like 2. But he couldn't talk, and he was running around the store screaming. And I was like, maybe you couldn't play in this PPDQ today.
Or, yeah, yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying like don't bring your kids to magic events, but I'm saying like, if you're going to do it, maybe there's an appropriate way to have that done. And that certainly wasn't the appropriate way to have it done. And you need to, you need to be realistic with yourself. Like when this person reached out to me and said, do you have time to do my playtesting session yourself? It was like, I typically would say, like, I've literally deferred to Michael on this right now, but let me check. And then it was up to me to decide whether I actually had that time.
Right, and just you know, if you have time to play, great. And if you don't,
right,
that's okay too.
But
can move on.
But I certainly shouldn't lie to that person, and then or lie to my wife or you know whatever it is that was going to be a conflict. Like, it's okay that you have other things in your life other than magic. It really is. I know that we're all obsessed with it as we just acknowledged, but it's okay that you have other things in your life. Then back to prioritizing events. You don't have to play in every event. Fun fact.
It does feel like that sometimes. And I understand like the need to feel like the need to like validate the time you spend playing.
It's so funny. There was somebody that I respect greatly. He said one of his like huge revelations was, what if I just didn't go to this FNM that I attend every single week? What if I didn't go? And then he didn't go and he was like, oh, I don't have to go. I can go on a date with my girlfriend that night. Weird. And it's like, maybe Friday nights are the nights you set aside. Maybe Thursday nights are the night you set aside. But like, don't play because you think you have to play.
Right. And you certainly are not. It'll be there next week. It'll be there the week after. If you don't play this week but want to play next week, or if you don't play Saturday but want to play Sunday, or vice versa. There's nothing that's going to happen to you.
Don't fly to Japan because you need a pro point. Please.
Right.
I mean, maybe if you need one.
Yeah, I feel like there's just actually no possible
situation where you'll need one.
I can't think of, yeah. It's going to be like either 15.
Because it's not possible. Well, for you, it's literally not possible. I mean, I guess if you were chasing gold all of a sudden, it would be possible.
Well, that's how it could happen, right? If you got like, what? So if I got to qualify for this one and then get like 10-ish, right?
And you had a GP slot left?
And you'd, well, that, I mean, that's actually probably just worth it. And then I would need one. I mean, that would probably be worth it.
To fly to Japan for the last GP of the year?
No, for the last PT of the year. Knowing you needed a 9-7 to get 4.
Oh, I was not talking. If you skip Japan, if you're qualified with the way you live your life, I would be upset with you. Well, I don't know what a ticket to Japan costs.
I don't know either. But
can you defer that invite?
Well, it would if it was like a silver invite, right? So say I got silver before then.
Yeah, could you defer that invite?
But I was at like 21. So
that's what I'm asking. If you don't go to that Pro Tour, do you just lose that Pro Tour?
Yes.
That's stupid. Just go to the Pro Tour. What if you win the Pro Tour?
Well,
how many shots do you have to play in Pro Tours? You should just go.
You would get to play the first one of next season.
But you get to anyway.
Right, right. No,
it just does that. That's what silver does.
Right, but I mean, like, if you're... So, say I've used all my GP slots.
Okay.
So, I don't qualify next weekend, and I don't get two
okay.
points.
Okay, so we're
GP.
Saying you went to Nashville, right?
No, we're saying I don't go to Nashville because I get 2 points from a GP after Nashville before Kyoto.
But so you're now qualified for
Kyoto.
So I'm
at 20, so I can buy a plane ticket to Kyoto where if I finish in the top two, I will be a gold pro.
Well, technically, if you finish in first, you'll be a platinum pro.
Oh, okay. Well, powerful. learn things all the time, right? But like, if it's a position where the only value in the event is like finishing first or second, I'm probably not going to buy a $1,200 plane ticket. But
I mean, we're literally talking about prioritizing events right now, and I'm not the one that's chasing silver. You are, so you get to make that decision. It's because I'm not you, right? Because like to me, it's like I'm qualified for a Magic tournament in Japan. That's a pro tour. I'm going to Japan. Well, but like it is your choice. That's so what this is like.
This comes
I'm
down
not
to the
you.
Same thing as everything else, right? It's about don't play events because you feel like you have to, and saying this is a pro tour, I have to play.
It's
I feel
not,
like so. I understand that it's like a bigger event than like an FNM, but it's the same idea, which is you don't have to play in an event. You don't have to
you
play
You certainly
in any
don't
event.
Have to play
you
in that pro tour.
You could be qualified for Worlds and
no,
be like,
I,
not this
there,
weekend, sorry.
No, literally, it's funny because I agree with you. I'm saying for me, it's a chance to go to Japan and play
right. So I mean,
like,
and I haven't really thought about this that much. I really don't.
Sure.
This is not
what,
like a.
But what I'm saying is, I agree with you because like, there are definitely people that have qualified for pro tours that have missed. That people are like, oh, I can't believe like you scummed that person out of a pro tour event. I'm like, hey, it was their job to beat them. He doesn't have to go to the pro tour.
Right. And my feeling here is that like.
And I don't feel like you're taking anything away from somebody by not going to Kyoto if
right.
you qualify.
I mean, the important thing really is understanding that you have to play events because you would like to play them. It's not fun to play events because you feel like you have to play them.
It's really
having
not.
Done that to myself before, it's really miserable. You just, it's not fun. If you make Magic into something other than an enjoyable experience, you can tell. You can't, like, trick yourself into, like, oh, once I'm playing, I'll be having... It doesn't work like that, right? If you don't want to play, it's not very fun.
All right. That's it for this week. I think we realized what the wrap-up was halfway through. It was, like,
play if you want to when you can, right?
Yeah, play it when you want to if you can.
Yep.
That's it. That's the whole thing. But with the caveat that, like... if you're fat like me, also do something else with your life. Like, just sometimes.
Well,
like,
everyone should try to get some exercise. It's good for your mental health to exercise as well. I think it just makes you feel better, right?
No, like, you know what's funny? You've actually witnessed me switching to vodka sodas, right?
Yes.
Like, I actually just feel significantly better in my life with the other crap I was drinking mostly gone. Like, now I'll drink, like, right now I'm drinking a martini, and it's fine. Like, it is. It's totally fine. But, you know, there is some amount of, like, if you're feeling crappy and you play Magic all the time, every day, all day, I'm going to be honest, it's definitely a factor. It really is. And I started working out at nights as often as possible. Since the baby's born, I've been much worse at it. But, like, do things like that. It's okay. There was a time, like, there are so many things that you can do to get your mind off of Magic and make time for yourself, but also, like, make time for the things that are important that, like, aren't just you time, right? Watching a kid, going to your girlfriend's events like you did. Like, it's okay that those things exist. That next Magic tournament is going to be there. And it's going to be there, I promise.
Yeah, I think that's honestly the thing. Like, you have access, you have the ability to play Magic almost any time you would like to. So if you feel like you need a break, if there's something you need to do instead, if you don't even really feel like you need a break, you just kind of feel like sitting in bed and watching something on Netflix, like, you're not obligated to do anything when it comes to playing Magic. And I think when you feel that way, it's more fun. Like, if you start making it a job for yourself, it brings a different kind of stress that, you know, just being able to step back and say, I don't want to play this event. It's a good feeling sometimes.
Yep. Next up, we have just wrap up the show where we are basically done for the week. But we have, don't forget that you can go to patreon.com/ccmtg to become a patron of the show. Our next goal is twofold. We will get Magic tokens made. We will make all of the ones we've promised. We'll make the Manny ones, we'll make the Casey ones, and we'll make the Michael and myself ones. So, we're getting closer. Let's look at where we're at right now. So if we go and check it out, we're probably almost 60% of the way there. Yeah, 62% of the way there. So we are getting close. So if you go to patreon.com/ccmtg, you want to see cast tokens made. If you want to see Michael in a hoodie that makes him look like a goat, like, this is the place to go. You can also, once we reach this goal, we will do card of the week every week, and you can be eligible to win a card of the week by donating $3 or more per month. And then we just give out Magic cards. So it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's a good benefit and kind of fun for us too. Fun to get to talk about a card that
it is. I really like highlighting cards. We did Legacy this week, and, like, it hasn't changed much in a while. We could have done, like,
It's hard to do card of the week as Tundra. It's an expensive one.
Not only that, but, like, like, it's also, like, what would it have been? Like, do you guys want an Oblivion Soar? Like,
it'd be like card of the 5 years, and it would be counterbalanced.
Exactly. Yeah. But, yeah, if you want to be eligible for that, you can just donate $3 per month, and then we will give one out every week once we hit that goal that we're almost there to. We're 62% of the way there, so more than half by a lot. You can also join the conversation every week by going to Constructive Criticism Family on Facebook. You can join that group. You can also tweet #WouldThatBeGood on Twitter. And you can join the clan by just asking for an invite. You can message me at Spencer13Dev or Quentin at Earthstripe. It's URTHSTYRPE. It was really funny when I messed that up every week. And now that I have it down, it's like...
I'm pretty sure you literally just messed that up. I'm pretty sure you STYRPE.
Oh my gosh, I did that while logging into his account the other day, and I was so furious. I was like, did he change his password without telling me? And then I was like, get a message on Facebook, and I was like, oh, Earthstripe, you are THSTRYPE, Earthstripe. Yeah, I definitely messed up the Y and the R. But yeah, you can message him at Earthstripe. It's spelled like it sounds, with a U and a stripe spelled with a Y.
I don't know that you can say it's spelled like it sounds when it's two real words that aren't spelled like words.
I know. That's why it's funny. Where can people find you if they want to talk to you, Michael?
You can find me in the Facebook group, Michael Hinderocker. Feel free to message me. And you can also find me on Twitter at MagicMikeMTG.
I just want to... Can I give a weird shout-out? So I actually have two shout-outs this week. We haven't done shout-outs in a long time. We'll bring them back. Casey's gone. You hate him too, so.
Do I? I like shoutouts.
Okay, maybe we'll bring him back. I have two shoutouts. The first one is to Peter Johnson, who made me, literally 3D printed me a deck box.
Yeah, it looked kind of sweet. I'm a little bummed I didn't get to see it, but.
I'll just bring it on Wednesday and show you.
Yeah, it looks really, the picture he sent of it looked really sweet.
He also says that you and Casey are welcome to them if you want with them, so.
I mean, how can I say no to that?
But it is similar to like the Patreon thing. I've had listeners make logos for me. We have Mason every week post the podcast on YouTube. You know, those kind of things, like, they mean a lot. Like, yeah. a lot. Like, it was really funny because, like, he said, I got a 3D printer. What should I do with it? And I messaged him. I said, can you print deck boxes? I want to make custom deck boxes to give out to my patrons. And he was like, I don't know, let me try. And he's like, I'm going to make you one. And he, by the way, he cannot. It takes too long to print a 3D. Like, it took 14 hours to, like, print the deck box or something.
Well, okay, now I have a good reason to say no. That sounds like way too much hassle. But I'm sure this one is really sweet.
Yeah, but, like, it's cool. It's like, by the way, you don't have to pay for this. I'm going to send it to you. And it's like, no, I want to pay you for it. But, like, they don't let you. And I've gotten in trouble by saying no to people. I think I actually have offended people by not letting them pay. I had people offer me dinner. And I was like, oh no, you can't, you don't get to do that. Like, and they're like, why? They get offended. They're like, no, I'm buying you this. And it's hard. It's like a hard balance. Cause we're like F-list magic celebrities.
Man, I would certainly not put myself on a list.
You know, we probably have the same listenership that LR did when John Laux called himself a C-list magic celebrity.
Well, maybe a...
That's what, and I said F-list.
A 26Z. What's the lowest you can be?
What's the lowest you can be? That's where I would put us too. Because I think the lowest, like, list that they give for celebrities is, like, D-list, which is why I said F-list.
Yeah, so I think 26Z is more appropriate. But.
Sure. It's a balancing act. It's like, oh, I know that, like, you listen to my show, but also, like, I'm literally just a dude talking about magic. And
yeah,
I love magic, and you love magic,
too.
Yeah,
I really...
But the reason that I bring this up is because I want to give a shout-out to all the people walking up to Michael and talking to him at GPs and getting Michael out of his shell.
Oh, well, I actually like that kind of interaction. That's really fun, and I hope that...
I'm glad that you do.
Yeah, anyone who, like, if you see me anywhere, feel free. I certainly, if I'm awkward, it's because I'm awkward, not because it's weird, so... Yeah, it's a me problem, not a you problem. You know, it's the classic thing to say, but it really is a me problem.
It's me, not you. I promise. You can find me on Facebook at Spencer Stephen Helen. You can find me on Twitter at Spencer13H. You can find the podcast every week on constructivecriticism.com, mtgcast.com, and youtube.com, thanks to Mason. Let's go to hashtag Would That Be Good. Hashtag is Would That Be Good is our Twitter outreach program. If you tweet it, we'll read it. And we have Casey saying, at Young Thug, additional marketing opportunity, hashtag Would That Be Good. And then he says, Young Thug says, they say you are what you eat. That's funny. I don't remember eating a goat.
Do you remember does he remember eating a goat with a GoPro?
What?
I'm assuming that, you know, Casey's talking about our restaurant here. Our goat restaurant.
Oh, I get it now.
Yeah, I'm assuming, but
he's not here to tell us.
Well, I feel safe in making this assumption. And on the plus side, he can't call me out for being wrong. So,
So you know what's funny? We didn't get anything about that goat restaurant. Nothing. And I don't know if that's a terrible sign or not.
No, I think it just intimidated too many people.
What do you say to that?
It sounded too fleshed out.
I also don't even know if it made the podcast now that I think about it.
I hope it did, because the goat restaurant was a great idea.
I actually literally don't remember. That was a horrible night of our lives.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Mason made a goat reference somewhere.
But we talk about goats all the time.
That's true, but I'm pretty sure, I don't know, whatever.
Let us know, did the goat restaurant make the podcast, because we don't remember. And you're just favoriting tweets from my account.
Am I?
No, you just did, right?
No, I didn't.
Oh, did I favor those?
Probably.
Okay. that's good. I'm glad you're not doing that. At specific Nate, super lucky again. Opponent missed a summer pack trigger. Hashtag that'd be good. So Josh tweeted at us this week, letting us know, that's at agent underscore of underscore blight. He tweeted at us that the podcast last week really helped him, and he had a moment where he realized he got super lucky, and that helped him keep a good mindset in this tournament. That I think I looked up, and I think he top 64'd the SEG this weekend. So congrats to him.
Yeah, nice job. And it is sweet. Like, when you're just like, oh, man, I don't think I should have won that game. It's a good feeling when you're just like, I was given a gift. Thank you, opponent.
Yeah. You don't get a lot of gifts. You should take them when you get them. Also, I hope you use that as a teaching moment and told that person to put a dice on top of their deck next time.
See, I hope you told them that you had effects in their draw step and then they accidentally drew.
I hope that you didn't do that.
That would be great.
At Joe Biden playing Spencer 3DNH Jeskai deck at a local qualifier. Deck felt very tuned when testing. Hashtag weather be good. So real talk.
Wait. What did you say his name was?
So at Eggbeat said it, but at Joe Biden is the beginning of the tweet.
Oh, okay. I was confused about Joe Biden tweeting
so
about.
This is an old reference to the podcast. So there was one time where somebody tweeted at me with like some really high Magic Pro, and I was like, oh, like I've made it. Like people are tweeting at me with so and so. I actually don't remember who it was. And then people thought that was really funny, and they started tweeting at me like with celebrities.
Are you feeling presidential now?
So like people tweeted at me with like Taylor Swift, with like John Legend, like all kinds of stuff. And it wasn't just people. It was every tweet directed at me included a celebrity. And it was funny. Like it was for a long time when we were doing the segment. And Eggby, you know, he's So I read this tweet and I thought he was saying Joe Biden was playing my deck at an event for like half a second and was like, wait, what? Oh, I see what's happening here.
Yeah. Joe Biden, friend of the show. Yeah, he's the person we're trying to line up after Donald Smith.
Exactly.
So far, attempts have been unsuccessful, but we're hopeful. So
we could get Joe Biden.
Yeah, if you know Joe Biden, have him reach out.
We could get
Joe
Biden. If we wanted Joe Biden, we could get Joe Biden.
Well,
we would tell him Obama was going to be there. Really? I haven't talked to him in months. He'd love to come. Anyway.
Yeah, so if his people are listening, I'm very amenable to having Joe Biden on.
What would we talk about?
Anything. We talk about Joe Biden, it'd be great.
What do you think of the Joe Biden meme? At Eggbeat One also says, finishing top four event in the local qualifier stops at top four with Jeskai playing green black all the way through. Hashtag with
slaying. Slaying green black.
That deck's best matchup is green black.
Yeah, in general, green black is just like really cold to fumigate. Like
it's,
absurdly cold.
It's also
to
really cold to Torrential Gearhulk in general.
Sure, but I mean, Fumigate, like, they don't really play any Planeswalkers. They don't really play very many spells.
It's
like,
actually so funny.
You just play Fumigate and the game's over.
I actually want to talk about this because I haven't talked about this on the podcast, and it blows my mind. So, so often, the first thing that people cut from that deck is Nissa. Like, so often. And then when you look at the green-black decks that win, they all play Nissa. And it's like, guys, maybe you're cutting the wrong card here.
It depends. I mean, I think Nissa prices you into playing Oath of Nissa, and a lot of people don't like going that
direction.
Does
it? I don't think it does.
I mean, there are just a lot of different builds of green-black. You can play any variant, and I think it's at least fine. But I don't know. I mean, Jeskai in general, just like void chatters for your biggest stuff and wraths for your small stuff is just
well. Eggby, congratulations on your top four. I actually thought this was an RPTQ because it was an RPTQ weekend that he was tweeting it. Apparently, it was not. It was for a
sweet to do well, regardless.
Yeah.
Like, feels good.
But he, it was like $4,000 for top eight.
Yeah, it's something that he cares about. It's yeah. sweet to just do well. It's really validating.
No, it is. Especially, and it qualified him for like a national tournament. So like national pride on the line there. So it's really sweet.
Awesome.
So, all right. That is it. Unless you want to give a shout out, because I know you love those now.
Man. Well, now I feel put on the spot.
That was the point.
I understand. I don't have a shout out right now.
I can't believe you could give one to Danny Cathro right now.
For what?
for traveling to all of these events with you, maybe. Being a good traveling buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say to myself for finally beating David Ochoa.
I mean, that too.
But yeah, fine. I'll shout out Danny. Thanks, Danny.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We really do appreciate it. And we'll see you guys all next week. Magic, magic, magic.